Duncan, we've got lots of questions here. One's come in for you. Victoria's tweeted at Naked Scientist, to what degree do you think gaming is shaping gamers' brains? So based on the study that you've done on your kids with their educative experiences, to what extent do you think that playing games like Elite Dangerous, David's game, actually will make long-standing differences in people's brains?
I guess there's a good reason to suspect that there will be a significant changes as a result, because we know that the brain changes as we experience the world around us. It's an incredibly adaptive system. The real challenge in this area is that it's exceptionally difficult to design good experiments. The classic way of studying it is to basically do a kind of correlational study where you look at whether there are significant brain effects that are associated with how many hours you've spent playing games, and to conclude that those differences in the brain are likely caused by playing the game.
Oh, you're saying, is it cause or effect? I'm
exactly,
good at those
yeah.
games because I get more reward from those games because I have a brain that makes me play them well.
Yeah, it's really difficult to design really good studies that pull those things apart.
Now, this is a terrific one, David. Max has tweeted, when do you think esports will be respected in the West? And what will be the catalyst for that? I suppose you should probably tell us, first of all, what esports is.
Okay, for those who don't know what esports is, it's playing games in a competitive way, often for prize money. You know, in the same way people do championships for darts or whatever, you do it with a computer game and the best player gets to win. Now, it's very, very big, particularly in the East at the moment, and it's taking off. Also in the US, there are competitions.
Prize money, isn't it?
Absolutely. Big prize money and very compelling, you know, and often online the competitions are streamed so people watch them and they get big audiences. So I think it's gradually increasing. But to answer the wider question, I think when games start to get respect, esport gaming will get more respect. And I think that's part of the issue. Gaming is generally played by, the average age of gamers has been going up steadily, but there are still an influential part of the population who don't get touched by gaming, whose image is the bleepy games from the 1980s. And they assume that's what gaming's like, but it's not the case.
Question from Philip for both of you. We'll start with Duncan. What's your favourite game and why?
Oh, man.
Did you have an Atari?
Was it? We didn't have an Atari. So me and my brother used to play. The coolest thing in the world for us at the time was that we'd worked out our dad had helped us to link two PCs together, which meant that we could both play against each other at the same time. And we used to play a game called Doom, which I don't know if it's still around, but it's a pretty violent shoot 'em up. And we were, you know, oblivious, kind of playing around, kind of shooting one another, which we thought was great fun. And I guess it stopped us tearing the living room apart.
David?
A very difficult one.
You're a bit conflicted because obviously you're almost on a bound to name one of your own pieces of software. But
Elite Dangerous. But Elite Dangerous aside, I think there are so many games I've got so much enjoyment out of through time that I've really enjoyed, games like Zelda from a long time ago now. More recently, I think games like Skyrim are very compelling, you know, game you can really immerse yourself in. And all the way back to the 80s, games like Defender from the arcades, right, from the start of the program. So I think I'd rather not actually give a one answer because that's too easy.
Very diplomatic. And just briefly, with Elite Dangerous, you obviously have had to move into the internet regime to make this a multiplayer game. How do you manage to bring all of these players together in real time across the internet when I know for a fact that my internet connection where I live is so shaky? There's no way I'm sending you data to your servers fast enough to match everything up. How have you solved the problem of getting everyone to experience a smooth gameplay like
well,
you have?
Well, we don't need a lot of data. It depends, and the game will balance that sort of thing. To play, we mix server traffic with peer-to-peer traffic. From a technical point of view, some of the data is going directly between two computers, some goes via our servers. And we have different modes. You can play solo, so you don't necessarily play online so much, but you still see the input of all the other people. And that goes just to our server, and it's a very low-speed data connection. So with all of these, it's sort of, to a degree, it's sort of horses for courses. But the game itself also does some balancing. So, you know, overall, we found it's been working very well.
You mentioned to me previously that you'd actually almost possibly discovered some new science with Elite Dangerous as well, because when you modelled the galaxy faithfully, it didn't look right.
Yes, and the night sky you see in the game is actually drawn from all the objects that are stored in the game, if you like, from the galaxy, and it didn't quite look like the night sky we really see. There were a lot more dark bits in the real night sky. And the thing that's evident, if you just look at the galactic centre towards the constellation of Sagittarius, you see that there's a bright section of stars above and below, so it looks like a sort of milky dust, the actual Milky Way. And that's because the middle section, which is actually the brightest bit of the galactic centre, is obscured by a large amount of dust. And what we found we had to do is add way more dust than we were expecting to get it to match up. And it's interesting, it ties in with a lot of other scientific observations. So over a period of about 22 million years, the Sun oscillates through the galactic plane. And extinction events actually coincide. There's a peak roughly every 22 million years. So it's quite probable there is a lot of matter in the narrow galactic plane that ends up coming through our solar system, disrupting it. So there is a lot to suggest that this is real science because we've matched it empirically with the real night sky.
It's amazing to think a game has generated some potentially new science. Thank you very much, David Braben, and also Duncan Astle. Before them, you heard Bob Stone.